Thank you, David, and worship team. That's a new song you've written. No? You were telling me
one
the other
that
day.
I had.
Would you have? No? Okay. There was another conversation. David was saying that he's been songwriting during the summer, so we're looking forward to hearing some of his songs. Would you turn with me in the book of Genesis to chapter 32, please? Genesis, you can't go wrong, it's the first book of the Bible. Genesis 32 and verse 22. Let's read this together. Verse 22 down to 30. So beginning at verse 22, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons across the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because of the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. May we pray. Lord, we come in these moments when we have a healing service to engage with your word so that we would be fed and watered and, as it were, prompted to receive from you. We pray that we'll do that this day in your precious name. Amen. Well, I wonder what you make of Jacob. I guess, if we're honest, we hold him up there as one of the giants of the scripture, of the Old Testament. He's a patriarch. He's one of our guys. When you hear the sort of words rolled off in the New Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we hold him up there. We hold him up high. But Jacob's name can mean cheat or grabber. And if we are willing to dig into the word, then we have to be honest and say Jacob lives up to his name. The patriarch, the big man, the father of the scriptures. Because Jacob is manipulative, and yet God uses him. Jacob is deceptive, but God uses him. Jacob is aggressive. And I wonder if we would have him into church membership here, knowing his track record. But you know, I honestly don't think we would. Actually, this great patriarch, this key man in Scripture is actually someone who has a seriously flawed personality. He grows up in a dysfunctional family. You know, I want you to understand, therefore, that we can stand with him. Because whatever else we may say, life is not tidy. Life is not together for any of us. So we stand with Jacob. And he seems to be either getting into trouble or just getting out of it in his life story. Or he is about to make more trouble. Maybe you connect with that. And Jacob's story is so universal because it's so personal, of course. Throughout his life, Jacob has been stubborn. He's been unwilling to trust anyone. Do you know, the interesting thing is, we quite rightly label these aspects as sins, but you know, we learn these behaviours. We often learn how to sin because we learn them from our families. We learn from what is around. That doesn't mean you're off the hook, by the way. And it is at this Jabbok Brook that Jacob is finally broken by God. It's an interesting spiritual moment. I would want to suggest to each and every one of you that each of us has to come to a point where we are broken before God. There is no accident here. God intends to do something in this man's life. This is the moment where Jacob is about to be literally broken. I wonder if you've been broken in your spiritual life, in your life. Maybe you feel that you are at a place of brokenness. Or maybe you've never actually come to a point where there's been such a crunch. Well, it will come if you mean business with God. Or maybe you are still recovering from the crunch, the broken moment. In this moment of brokenness, there is a kind of, well, there's a real meeting with God. There is a sense in which God empowers him for the future. He doesn't suddenly forget all that's happened. Jacob is this cheat, this grabber. But suddenly he's given that moment a bit like Peter in the New Testament, where God is about to open a new chapter. Friends, you can't have the new chapter without the brokenness. And as much as we may cry, heal me, restore me, when you're making that prayer, you're actually making an invitation to God to break you. So Jacob gets a new name and a new freedom to live as God originally intended, but this comes at a price. It comes at the price of a permanent limp that will render Jacob helpless. And every time he feels that limp, every time he gets out of his resting place, every time he walks, he will feel that limp. And that will be like the thorn in the flesh, I guess, in the New Testament, that he will say, I am therefore totally dependent upon God. It's interesting, by the way, it struck me as David was leading the worship, that because this is a healing service, you know, I don't know whether we have got our perceptions of healing mixed up. You know, I'm guessing that if Jacob came to the healing service today, he'd say, heal my limp. Of course he would, but in a sense, that's where we get our views of healing wrong. Because we're after wholeness. And wholeness means that sometimes we will have to struggle on with the physical struggles that we have. Sometimes God gives us something to permanently remind him of himself. And you see, out of this weak place, you see, out of this limp, out of this thing that Jacob says, I therefore will depend on God, that Jacob becomes, well, a nation. I'm not sure how I would respond to that, thank you God. But Jacob gets this kind of bang on his in-tray of, you're going to become a nation. What does that mean, God? Thanks a bunch. In order to bless the world. Now, today is very, very simple and short. You know, in the same way, like Jacob, sometimes God will bring us to a point, perhaps sometimes where we will be wounded, in order to move us to a place of new spiritual opportunity. There is often an image that's used by people in healing counseling situations that shows our lives like an iceberg. And at the top of the iceberg, the bit where it breaks through the water, perhaps everything looks rosy. Everything looks fantastic. You're an iceberg. But what is going on beneath the water? Our lives are like that then. What for you is going on? For Jacob, everything looked rosy on the top, but actually underneath, he had a track record. And God had to bring him to a point where he no longer trusted himself, relied upon himself, but he trusted God. And when we come to that place, like Jacob, of saying, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to change? What do you want to break? What do you want to heal? God starts the transforming process. You know, it just leads me to conclude, as I come to an end, of saying, you know, there are no spiritual superheroes in the Christian world. There's just you, me, each other, and we're on a journey together, and God is saying, when are you going to trust me? When are you going to let go? When are you going to put your confidence in me? When are you going to allow me, God, to transform you from the inside out? So I have a question for you as we move towards an opportunity for healing. Here's the question. In what way has God put your life out of joint so that you can depend on him? Of course, the natural inclination, by the way, that when we go out of joint, you know what we do, don't we? We shout like children. We go, that's not fair. Why has that happened? But actually, God, in this scripture, shows us very clearly that he uses situations to get our spiritual attention. He uses challenge and struggles in life. For Jacob, it's horrible and painful. What has happened in your life where there's been a kind of a moment where he's saying, are you going to pay me some attention now? So that we can depend on him. I love that scripture. So many of you do too. 8:28 of the book of Romans. That in all things, God works for the good of those who love and trust him. Those who have been called. So whatever challenge, whatever Jacob moment yet to be or has happened, or is happening now, God is getting your attention. And this morning, as we offer the opportunity for you to receive prayer ministry, it's for you to come and say to God, you have my attention. What do you want to do now? You have my attention. What would you touch? From this point on, Jacob, well, I was going to say springs off. It's hardly a big spring, is it? A painful spring. But Jacob gets used mightily by God. It's a changing moment. So when we come in humility and say, God, I'm ready to listen to you. You've got my attention. Things change. As we offer healing prayer ministry opportunity this morning, there'll be some at the back. There'll be some at the front, so that you can just slip to the side or wherever, and just to come and receive prayer. You know, these are not counseling moments. So if you've got something that's bigger and more difficult, we can talk about that afterwards. These are just moments for you this morning to come and receive from the Holy Spirit. So if you've got a long story to share, the prayer team will just be wanting to pray with you. And we can hear the long story in a different situation. But whatever you want to receive from God, come this morning and offer it to him. And let's see what God wants to do. I want to just pray now, and then the prayer team can move into their places. Sounds like a short penalty move in a rugby match, but it isn't. And James will, haven't discussed this, but there's a CD there, I think, that we'll put on in due course. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we relate to Jacob in the striving and the manipulating and the scheming, in the denying and the spinning of half-truths that he had in his life. And at times too, Lord, we find ourselves serving you in order to get something from you. But today, Lord, we invite you to teach us to live in dependence on you. That was Jacob's story. He had that wound. Help us to rest and be still in your love alone. In Jesus' name, amen. So here it goes. If those who are praying, if those who think they're praying and those who are not sure they're praying would like to move. And, you know, it really doesn't matter. There are no spiritual giants in WBC. It doesn't matter how many people come forward or not. Please just come forward and receive from God.